This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair, bringing you this week's edition of Issues of the Environment. Now, we've had a relatively wet summer thus far. There are a lot of good things about having enough rainfall. There are also some less desirable outcomes. More rain means more puddles, more flooding, more standing water, and that means more mosquitoes. Now, we're at the time of year to be alert to the potential of West Nile virus. In addition to that threat, many of the products we use to prevent mosquito bites and mosquito-borne illnesses, well, they can pose some health threats of their own. Our guest this morning is going to help us navigate our way through these issues. Melissa Cooper-Sargent is environmental health educator for the Ecology Center. And Melissa, thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Happy to be here.
Now, I've been reading that we have a huge mosquito population this summer. Is that in line with what you're hearing and what you know?
Well, I know that they have heard some reports back in June, such as like a few birds in Ingham County that had West Nile virus. And I know with all the rain that we're definitely seeing them around the yard.
And those are the most dangerous mosquitoes, those ones who tend to populate our lawns and our yards, our drainage ditches, where we find standing water around our homes, correct?
Well, I don't know if they're the most dangerous, but it's definitely, they don't travel far from where they breed. So if you can control the standing water that's near your home, then you're less likely to have them in your yard.
You're listening to Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with Ecology Center environmental health educator Melissa Cooper-Sargent about mosquitoes and West Nile virus. Now, Melissa, whenever I go camping or I know I'm going to be out during peak mosquito hours, I use a popular brand of repellent and drench myself in it. Now, this product contains DEET, and it works. I mean, it works really well. But DEET does come with some health issues all its own, right?
That's correct, yes. Well, when using DEET, first of all, if you're looking for a product, you don't need any more than 30% DEET. There's been studies that have been done that have shown that any more than 30%, it really doesn't improve the efficacy. So you don't need 100%. 30% is definitely sufficient. And you want to be careful with how you apply it, especially if you're applying it on children. You'd never want to spray yourself or anybody directly in the face. You would apply it to the hands first and then spread it on the rest of the body. But the health concerns associated with DEET is that it is a neurotoxin. There was a study done by Duke University where they studied DEET as well as permethrins, and they were finding that they have neurological effects on the body. And they said children in particular are at risk for subtle brain changes caused by the chemicals in the environment, because children more readily absorb the chemicals, and their nervous systems aren't quite as developed. So they said they suggested use it sparingly and infrequently, and by itself. Now they were finding that if it was used in heavier amounts, that's when you noticed the more severe health effects.
And there are also some products that have this combination of sunscreen and DEET, and I've been told that that is a particularly bad idea as well.
Well, it is, because the application rates are different. DEET will last longer. It can last up to 8 hours, whereas sunscreen, it'll wash off, or it might only last for 2 hours. So you're reapplying to reapply the sunscreen, but then so you're reapplying the DEET as well, which you're getting a higher dose of the DEET, which is not needed.
Right. Now, and again, the children are particularly susceptible to this. With that in mind, if we know that it can cause these kinds of issues, should we just not stop using DEET on children altogether? And if it's bad for children, it's bad for humans. Maybe we should stop it. Is there any discussion of taking DEET out of our products and out of our commercial venues?
No, I don't know that there's discussion of taking DEET out of products, but there's definitely a push for alternatives. And the EPA has registered other ingredients and found them to be effective. So one that you can look for is picaridin, and that's in a couple different products that are on the shelf now. There's also lemon eucalyptus oil, and the synthetic version of that is called PMD, the initials PMD. So those are two other options that you can look for. And even the major brands off Natrapel, Cutter, Repel, they have products that have either the picaridin or the lemon eucalyptus in them.
Are all of these in one form or another chemicals, though?
Yes. So the picaridin is a chemical, and If you go on to beyondpesticides.org, they can rate the toxicity of chemicals, and they rate the picaridin as least toxic, where they would rate the DEET as highly toxic. So some research has been done. There's probably always more that can be done. But as far as we know right now, the picaridin is a lot less toxic, or least toxic compared to DEET.
You're listening to Issues of the Environment, and we continue our conversation with Melissa Cooper-Sargent. Melissa is an environmental health educator with the Ann Arbor-based Ecology Center, and we've been talking about mosquitoes and repellents and what the options are. Are there any natural options or home remedies to combat mosquitoes, mosquito bites, and thus better protect us from the possibility of mosquito-borne illness?
Sure. There are essential oils which are botanical or considered minimum risk by the EPA. They do not have to be registered because there's no safety concerns. Products only have to be registered with the EPA if there are safety concerns.
Right.
So there's products on the shelf that you can buy, quite a few that utilize the essential oils, or you can make your own. But it is surprising the studies that have been done that are finding that they can be very effective as well, and as far as how long they last. That's usually what they're testing for.
Okay.
And if they will last as long as DEET or some other products. So I think catnip oil is one that there's no product out there with it yet, but they've had some good, really promising results from that. So it's interesting. As more and more people try to avoid the DEET, I think there's more support for finding uses for some of these other products.
Well, I certainly appreciate your time, and I am definitely better informed after our conversation. Before we come to an end, though, I do want to kind of bring it back around to near where we started. Now, last year there were no cases of West Nile detected in humans or animals in Michigan. There was minimal detection so far this year with just a couple of crows in Ingham County. Do we have any idea if we've seen the worst years of West Nile virus and those are in our rearview mirror, or could it return at any time?
Well, I would certainly hope that they're in the rearview mirror. That's not my line of study, so all I know is how to try to prevent them from being in
right.
your yard by clearing out any standing water that you might find, dump your buckets or anything that might hold water and protect yourself in the safest way that you can.
Thank you so much for your time. I do appreciate it.
Okay, you're welcome.
That is Ecology Center environmental health educator Melissa Cooper-Sargent. I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment. This weekly feature is produced in partnership with the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division and is heard each Wednesday as a part of Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU.